And it's taken from Hebrews, chapter 4, started to read at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifice for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one he could save from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he had suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and were designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Thanks for twice reading Melchizedek so confidently. Let me pray for us. We've called this series on Hebrews, "We See Jesus." And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that as we read your written word, we might be led to you, the living word, and see you afresh. Oh Lord, help us to see clearly this morning, that we might live rightly for you. Amen. You've changed. Have you ever had to say that to a friend or a family member? Has anyone ever had to say it to you? You've changed. And you're not talking about someone's clothes, but their character. Someone you know has been promoted, or they've recently started earning a lot more money, or they've begun a new relationship, or whatever it is, their circumstances have changed for the better. New status, new power, new position. But unfortunately, their character hasn't improved with it. They've changed. They're not quite the friend that they were before. Our passage this morning is about Jesus' ministry. Not his earthly ministry that we read about in the Gospels, where he was humbled for a season with us on earth, where he took off his heavenly glory and took upon himself our weaknesses and our frailties. He became one of us. Our passage this morning is not describing Jesus' earthly ministry, but his heavenly one, where he is now. He has gone through or ascended into the heavens. Verse 14 of our passage. He has become our great high priest. He's been selected and appointed to this role by God. Chapter 5, verse 1. It's a glorious role. Verse 5. In fact, he's become a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. verse 6, and whatever that means, it's clearly an exalted position. In all this, in Jesus' move from a ministry of humility here on earth to a glorious and exalted position in heaven, has he changed? Has Jesus changed? His character changed from the Jesus that we read about in the Gospels? Has he changed? No, he has not changed. As we read later in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our passage this morning is about Jesus as our high priest. In fact, this passage begins a long section in Hebrews about what it means for Jesus to be our high priest. We'll think about it again next week, his high priest of a new covenant. And so while this morning we'll touch on Jesus as our high priest, I want to focus in that and through that on Jesus's heart. Jesus' heart, as it is revealed in this passage. If you were here last week, you'll remember that we thought last week about our hearts. There was a repeated line in the passage last week, do not harden your hearts, do not harden your hearts. Our hearts that quickly and frequently grow hard towards God. That's what we thought about last week, our hearts. This week, Christ's heart, which is always tender towards us. And two key verses that I want to focus on this morning as we think about Christ's heart. Two glorious verses. First of all, verse 15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And then chapter 5, verse 2, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray. I hope these verses, the passage around them, give us fresh insight into the heart of Christ, his heart towards us. I hope these verses give us fresh assurance in our faith. I hope they give us fresh hope in our struggles and our sin and our suffering, fresh appreciation of our Savior Jesus. They are extraordinary verses. Jesus, our great high priest, is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, and he is able to deal gently with us in our ignorance and our waywardness. For some of us here this morning, this is exactly what you need to hear today. In the Gospels, there is only one place where Jesus tells us about his heart. We learn much in the four Gospels about Jesus' teaching, his Sermon on the Mount, his parables, his debates, and his discussions. We read about his travels and his miracles, his prayer habits. In all of the Gospels, we have the same outline, his birth, his calling of his disciples, his arrest and trial and crucifixion and resurrection. But in all this, there's just one place where Jesus, if you like, opens up to us his very heart. Just one place. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. The heart of Christ for sinners and sufferers like you and me, for those weary and burdened. What is his heart like? gentle and humble. Or another translation, gentle and lowly. And of course, through the Gospels, we see this gentle and humble heart of Jesus on display in his actions. We see him moved with compassion by those around him, those who were like sheep without a shepherd. We see him weeping over Jerusalem, the city that was to reject him. We see him weeping at the grave of Lazarus, his friend, and the grief of his friends and family. Think of Jesus's encounter with the rich young ruler, caught up, trapped by his wealth. And we read Jesus looked at him and loved him. Think of the woman caught in adultery who's brought before Jesus by an angry mob, and Jesus's gentle dealing with her. Think of all those sinners and outcasts who were drawn to Jesus, felt comfortable in his presence, who ate and drank with him. The gentle and humble heart of Jesus that is revealed in the Gospels, in his earthly ministry, and now here in our passage this morning in Hebrews, we see Jesus, not in his earthly ministry, risen and ascended and exalted to the right hand of God in heaven. And he is the same. His heart is unchanged. Verse 15, able to sympathize. Chapter 5, verse 2, dealing gently. Jesus in heaven is no less approachable and no less compassionate than the Jesus we read about in the Gospels. Now, don't get me wrong here. This is not all just fluffy, lovely feelings. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus came preaching and living grace and truth. He preached judgment. He had many harsh words to say. He could be very uncomfortable and uncompromising. It's said that the task of every preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And Jesus certainly did both these things. In fact, the book of Hebrews, as we read through it this summer, does both these things. It has passages full of stern warnings, and then, hot on the heels, wonderfully comforting and assuring passages. Just last week, where we left off last week, if you've got your Bible open, verses 12 and 13 of chapter 4, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, dividing soul and spirit. It judges our hearts. Nothing is hidden before God. We are laid bare before him to whom we must give an account. Ouch! And then this morning, nevertheless, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. We have a high priest who is able to sympathize, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us. The heart of Christ for sinners and strugglers like you and me. He is able to sympathize. Why? Verse 15, because he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus has been through what we go through. Of course, he did not literally face every temptation we face, the specific temptations of our own circumstances in the 21st century. But at root, he was tempted in every way, just as we are. And because of this, when we come to him with our sins and our struggles, he sympathizes with us. He doesn't say, I don't know what all this fuss is about. He doesn't say, I went through all of this, it was just fine. No. He doesn't throw up his hands in horror. He doesn't say, how can you be like this? How can you be tempted by that? He doesn't deliver just a kind of easy pep talk from on high. It's an incredible word. He sympathizes with us. In fact, the word means to sympathize. It means he suffers with us. He feels our pain. This is not a sort of cool, detached pity from afar, but a depth of solidarity, of co-suffering with us. He has been where we are. He is sympathetic. I heard of someone who talked once about their experience of going to a doctor for a particular medical procedure, and the same procedure twice, only a few years or some years apart. And the first time they went to the doctor for this, the doctor's bedside manner was, well, it was relatively brisk, matter of fact, not particularly reassuring or comforting. But the second time, some years later, same doctor, same procedure, it was completely different. The doctor took time to explain, spoke gently, offering words of reassurance. This is what's going to happen. This is what it's going to be like. And the difference was so stark that the patient later asked, Doctor, your bedside manner seems to have changed a little. And the doctor explained that a year or so before, he found himself a patient on the table himself, confused, concerned, vulnerable, and the experience had changed him completely. It could never be the same again as a doctor. A new sympathy, a fresh understanding, a much better bedside manner. Jesus is like the doctor who's been on the table himself. He lived among us, took upon himself our human nature. He was in the same furnace of affliction that we find ourselves in. He was tested and tempted in every way. And when we come to him with our struggles and failings, what do we find? Sympathy. And with this, he is able, chapter 5, verse 2, to deal gently with us, with those who are ignorant or willfully going astray. These verses are about the ministry of the high priest. They show how that ministry is wonderfully fulfilled by Jesus. The following chapters expand on it. We'll think about it more next week. But again, what I want us to focus on here is the heart of our high priest. He's gentle. Again, this is not all Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He deals gently with us. He dealt decisively with sin once and for all, forever. He has defeated sin and death and hell through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. He will one day return to judge and deal once and for all with all injustice and evil. His kingdom will never end. But his heart towards us, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant or are going astray. I think one of the hardest things to learn as a parent is sometimes gentleness. As your children grow up and start to really test the boundaries, when you can't just pick them up and strap them into a, you know, high chair or push chair or whatever. And I don't mean physical gentleness, although you might need to watch that as well, but it's so easy at a time of stress to lose it shout and explode. We've all been there. Throw up your hands in exasperation and horror. It's hard to be gentle. How does Jesus deal with us? He is gentle. He does not lash out, throw up his hands. I can't believe, not again. He is not hectoring or intimidating or bullying. He's calm and tender, restrained. He deals with us gently. Next Thursday is Ascension Day. We said earlier, service at St. Mary's, we celebrate, we worship Christ who has ascended to heaven. It's a coronation. We've all seen one of them now. Seated at the right hand of God on a throne, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's also, if you like, Ascension Day. It's not just a coronation, it's an ordination. You may have been to one of those before. Christ selected and appointed as our great high priest, a great high priest in the order of Melchizedek. If you want to know what that's about, then talk to me afterwards. Jesus Christ, our King and great high priest, exalted to the highest place. The Puritan writer Thomas Goodwin wrote that you might expect that as we approach him in prayer, draw near to him in worship, come to him in all our struggles, we might expect a severe and sour disposition from someone in such an exalted place. We might expect that now he has to hold his nose when he deals with such weak and flawed creatures as us. But no, he has not changed. And when we approach him, we find, just as those found in his earthly ministry, hands full of blessing, arms open wide, eyes wet with tears, lips overflowing with love, a gentle and humble heart, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Life is a struggle. We are sinners and sufferers. Maybe your life is just fine right now. Maybe you're one of the comfortable who needs to be afflicted, but for life just to be fine is the exception. We live in a fallen world. In this world, you will have trouble, said Jesus. So verse 14, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Only Christianity describes a God who has been on the table, a God who suffered for us and suffers with us, is able to sympathize and deal with us gently. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray, draw us to yourself. Give us fresh assurance, fresh confidence to come to you in all our sins and struggles. And give us a fresh vision. And a fresh, not just a vision, but a fresh experience of how you deal with us in all our weaknesses. We praise you, our sympathetic High Priest. Amen.